Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enid DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I'm Melissa. I'm a licensed professional counselor, a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I'm also nationally certified, and most importantly, I'm a child of God. This morning, we just want to thank God for allowing this opportunity to come together one more time, thanking God for blessing us, thank you for keeping us, thank you for giving us protection, thank you for giving us wisdom, knowledge, and instruction, and thanking God for everything that we encounter, both good and bad, positive and negative, every situation, every circumstance. Dear God, let us just understand the meaning and the moral, and just help us to continue to glorify you no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. I do apologize for last Saturday. You have the intention when you put on a program, and if you have individuals listening, or if you have individuals expecting you, you want to respect them, and the demonstration of respect is assuring that you are where you say you're going to be. And I failed at that on last Saturday, and I do apologize for that. I don't know who listens to this program. I do see the numbers. I'm not sure where you're calling in from the whole program or not. But again, I do apologize for not being where I said that I was going to be on Saturday. And I want to do better. From this last Saturday to now, there's been a lot of things that have been going on, one of which are expressions of gratitude that there are people that are willing to help when individuals are down and out. And I am forever grateful for individuals who have stepped in to help me and my children and my family, whether it be through prayers, through gifts, or things such as that. On Sunday, my children sing in a children's choir at their church. I want to have them involved in different aspects of service so that they can kind of put this thing together. And you never know who's watching. And the individual filmed a certain song, and it was real interesting because you don't know who's watching and you don't know who's listening. And I play the tambourine for wherever I want to play it at, and the man in the choir gives me an opportunity to do that. I was really excited to hear that because I had received some discouragement at one point that it doesn't make a difference, you know, because no one hears it. And in that recording, you can hear it clearly. And there's a message even in that. But as we go through the week, different things have happened that are frustrating and confusing. I work as a counselor with individuals who have gotten into some trouble by reason of alcohol and drugs, and have the indication, many of them, that there is no consequence to those actions. And I spend a good portion of time trying to break the news to them that for every action there is a reaction, and it may not come quickly, it may come later. And so when you have these different conversations with individuals, I'm noticing, and I myself do it as well, when you procrastinate, you're procrastinating for a reason. You're not just procrastinating because you're just putting things off for no reason at all. You're putting those things off, or you're procrastinating, or it's almost an avoidance that you are doing. And when you can no longer avoid it is when you've done everything that you can possibly do and you have no other way out, then you go ahead and you do that. And unfortunately, there are individuals who have lived their lives, and it's not until they began to suffer later that they realize the consequences of their actions from previously, and then they get the message. And then continue to move forward. The children are getting out of school here to celebrate the winter holidays, to go on vacation, and to celebrate Christmas and Kwanzaa and New Year's. And the way that the holiday falls, it's almost a solid 2 weeks, and then they get out with some time around it, but the holiday falls right in 2 weeks, Friday to Friday to Friday, and then you're into the new year, and it's coming quickly. So lastly, on my LinkedIn site, I try to make posts on a regular basis just to, I don't know, keep stirring the pot, I guess, if you will. And I hold on to things that I gather. And one of the things that I hold on to actually speaks the opposite of what I've done in order to hold on to it, which is to define and describe the results of junk and stuff. And if you keep stuff around you, what stuff does, and it breeds in it, if it costs more to maintain the stuff, it's probably best to let it go. So from last week to this week, it has been a lesson of, it's an end of the year type of a message that we have today. We're going into a new year and we make resolutions and we make decisions to say that we're not going to live our lives as we have throughout the year into the new year. Or if you're coming up on milestone birthdays, like the odd numbers, 50, you know, 45, 35, 30. It's almost like those are milestone birthdays, and it's almost like it's propelling you through time. And when you get to 45, you know, you only have 5 more years to 50. And then when you get to 50, you know, you only have 10 more years to 60. And when you get to 60, you know, you only have 5 more years to retirement or 65. And then you're thinking to yourself, when I get to be that age, I should be able to retire. And then realize that from now until then, it's almost like you're going to have to accumulate a lot of stuff leading up to then, and you don't may or may not know how that you do it. And so you say, well, what does this have to do with the premise of talking with Trinity or the education or even spirituality? Well, for one, the Bible speaks and it says that when you are young, you think as a young person, then you do as a young person. And when you are old, you basically graduate from that, from the things that you did as a youth. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, basically, you develop wisdom, you develop knowledge, you gain maturity, responsibility, and you do that, or you don't. And if you don't, there'll be identification. There'll be consequences of you not. There'll be consequences of you doing it. I spoke to a young man on yesterday or the day before yesterday, and one of the things that he shared is from a youth, he was very, very focused on stability, focused on responsibility, focused on family, you know, focused on all these positive aspects. And in his focus and being focused, he continued to propel himself through his life, through his current age, which is not even 30 as yet. And I laughed as I was talking to him because I was like, yeah, I remember when I was 29 or 28, you know, I remember the things that I was into. Remember people that I was involved with and things like that. That's one other thing. I went to my college, UNC Charlotte, on Tuesday. It was a nice day. It's raining today. And they're tearing down the Belt Tower, which is a huge Washington Monument-looking statue-type thing in the middle. Well, it was the original middle of the campus, and they made a decision that it would cost more for it to be maintained than it would to tear it down and start over. And I guess to appease the Belks, which is the Belk Tower, Belk Department Store, and then I'm thinking about it now, Belk died, and the Belk was reorganized and perhaps some of the finances that was being allotted to UNC Charlotte, perhaps as a result of that reorganization, UNC wasn't included in that. And I guess just they don't really have belt to turn to now for the maintenance of the tower. I guess you can't rightly just ask anyone else to do that. So they're going to use some money, tear it down, and just to kind of appease the family or appease the whole idea, they're going to name it the Belt Plaza, but they're going to do other things too to it. And so I was anxious to go, could not think of a time to go, as my office in Charlotte, Trinity Counseling and Services, is located at 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, and it's near downtown. And then we're talking about all the way out, you know, 15, 20 minutes through traffic, UNC Charlotte. And I didn't know how I was going to be able to do that. And but lo and behold, on Tuesday, I had an opportunity to do it, and I was real happy about that, because that tower, when I went to that, when I went to college in 1988, I can remember what we used to do is we would lay towels down on the grass and all around it, and that would be where they would have events, international days, and they would normally be outside, or Rush Week, and that's where all of the student organizations would set their tables up, and we were able to go by and pick up information. I remember credit card people being out there, their tents, which they probably stopped doing that, because how right was that for them to be offering kids who are not working credit cards and running their credit and going their debt and all that other stuff. But, you know, them out there and protest, you know, if there was something that was going on in the country and we wanted to come together, then there would be a quiet form of a protest. And it didn't matter who you were or your, you know, race, ethnicity, religion, or none of that. Everyone would congregate there in the middle of the campus. And I was walking around and I was telling James that part of that, which was so interesting, is when you would be running from your dorm, because, you know, every freshman, sophomore, had that 8 o'clock class. Things are so laid back now. But then you were running, and the bell tower would ring the hour. It would ring the hour. So, you know, if you heard that first bong, if you were at your dorm, because you could hear it throughout the campus, you were at that first bong, you know, you only had those 7, and then it was 8 o'clock, and then ultimately you were late. So there you go, running from the cab or running down the hill. And when you got there, and if there was, you know, you heard that last bong, you had to say, well, where is my building at? And you would zip in there just in the nick of time, because your teacher would be looking at you like, okay, you're late. You're like, no, you haven't even heard that last bong yet. And that was how you would know that. Of course, the campus is crazy huge now. I was telling James also that when the building you had, the departments were in two buildings, but it was two buildings, Cobart, North and South, and they were odd and even. You had 1, 3, and 5, and you had 2 and 4, and each department, philosophy, services, nursing, education, all those different ones, had different areas of the building, and that was the department. You had one desk, one office, with the GA was at the desk helping out the students and the office assistants and the office manager and the dean, and then you had your adjunct faculty and your other faculty members that may have offices in that same area and corridor near, or they might not have offices at all. They might share offices, so they never had the same office hours. And you say, well, what does that have to do anything? Well, again, just like, you know, maintaining of stuff, and just like you know, having focus or being distracted, and just like the recognizing of time and consequences, you know, you don't think ahead in 30 years, this is how your life is going to be. You know, back then, I really don't recall having as much focus, with the exception of being focused on maintaining my grades, or being focused on getting out of graduating, being focused on a major and then graduating and not even trying to put together, being focused on, so with this major, this is the job I'm going to have, and not even acknowledging that this is the type of career that is paying me for the rest of the year or the rest of my years. Never a thought. I can just remember thinking, okay, once I graduate, my goal was to get out of Alamance County. And not for nothing, it was just the end result of being in Alamance County was not very appealing. I did not resent the work my parents did, working in the mills and doing all of those things. No resentments there. However, when I had my through the summer, all I could remember saying to myself, and I don't know, the statement I made was, surely I was not going to be a college-educated individual working in a mill or working in a warehouse with T-shirts, or working in it was another factory that I worked in. And I enjoyed working in those, but I didn't see working in those for the rest of my life. The one where there was tea bags and Kool-Aid, and I just remember on Friday we had to wash down the machines and we had to wear rain boots or something that we didn't care about, because when you spray the machines off, you were going to be up to your ankles in Kool-Aid just from spraying down the machines and that water running off of them. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Being in a warehouse working, and it's 90 or 100 degrees outside, and it's 90 or 110 degrees inside, and then not for nothing, but then you have a manager or a supervisor without a high school diploma, and they're talking nasty to you and down to you, and at that time, I was kind of argumentative, and I was like, no, I'm gonna find myself in a lot of trouble, because you are not going to speak to me that way, because who are you? Which is one of the reasons why I did not want to go to the military. It was the same, who are you that you're going to be yelling at me? I would not appreciate being yelled at. So I didn't go to those places, which may have been career things. Also worked at McDonald's for 7 years, and it served its purpose. I was able to eat. And I've always thought like that. What am I going to eat? Where am I going to sleep? And how am I going to survive? It's always been my mind frame. And but I'm working at McDonald's, and that's what I'm doing. But I'm weighing out the odds. I'm not going to work for this little DM district manager that's 5 feet, same height as me, and he's rude. I'm not doing that. I'm not gonna work with anybody like that. I mean, I may have shot myself again. That could have been a McDonald's owner. Of course, I'd have been a McDonald's owner then. I would have ended up being subjected to the things that we're being subjected to now, learning like as they've changed the recipes and stuff, but I digress. So none of that was for me. So I tried to make college work, and I was sharing with somebody, I went to the field of drugs and alcohol because I had knowledge of that. It was very comfortable. I knew about that, and I knew about when people drank, and I kind of understood the psychology of drinking and the psychology of using marijuana. And then I learned the psychology of people using heroin and people using cocaine and crack cocaine, and trying to now understand the psychology of people using pills and all of these other drugs that I've learned about. And it just goes back to the Bible for me. I can understand why these distractions occur in my life and the lives and individuals that I've spoken with. It's always something happens, and then you are introduced to something and in your introduction to that thing that you're in, that you are introduced to, it made your life as you saw it so much better. If you were just kind of surviving, but you had a need for being being safe, it may have made you feel safe when you used. It may have gave you a form of security. It may have offered an opportunity to connect with individuals. It might have even gave you an opportunity to develop some type of healthy esteem. I can just, I mean, I listen to people now, and I just know for myself, when you're hanging out and you are who you are, whether you're impaired or not, but it's almost like you speak better. People's like, well, wow, you're a really good speaker, a really good listener, or really good at what you're doing. And then you're able to receive that same type of attention in intoxication, then quite naturally you're going to stay with it. It may have even, some people may have even aspired that this is the whole purpose of their life because they don't have the opposite. That was the other thing that I learned from the young man, is if you have someone that is encouraging you and promoting you and offering you opportunities and things like that and kind of giving you, kind of showing you a path but not saying go down this way, but kind of allowing you inside of the path, and that's where you're going to go. And you may have things to the left or the right of you, but your path is fairly narrow, and you'll continue to stay along it. And then you begin to reap positive consequences just from staying on the path. But if you run into some obstacles, those are opportunities or times that might deter you, and you might not acknowledge or continue to want to be on that path. And then you'll say, well, maybe if I go this direction, and if something else will happen, or maybe if I just kind of wait this thing out, maybe it'll turn itself around, which goes back to the original statement about sometimes people procrastinate because they're kind of waiting until there's like really no other choice. Unfortunately, there are individuals that are still waiting that are dead. They waited, and when I talk to individuals, this one young man, poor thing, and I had a bad attitude, and I acknowledge that. But when you're youthful and you're trying to manipulate, it's just really, that's what you're offering me. And he says, maybe I need to get closer to God. Maybe that's why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. And any time in counseling that I hear somebody who knows that I am a Christian and that is a part of my story, pull that up in front of me. That's supposed to say, because you are a Christian, that these are the things that you should do. You should, you know, be more considerate of me. You should be kinder to me. You should be, you know, more empathetic with me. And you are. But at the end of it all, that if you're bringing that into the argument, then that means that you're still making an excuse. Because what does being closer to God mean when you're continuing to do things your own way and doing things in your own free will, which is what he gives us? God gives us a free will to choose everything that we want. But he also gives us a rule book, whether he gives it to us through the Bible, through the Quran, through the Torah, through the any other readings that come from the Bible, anything to that effect. The rule book is written out, it's very plain. There are if-thens, there are, you know, open-ended statements, closed-ended statements. If you read it, you can either read it symbolically or you can read it literally. It still lays out that here is what life is. Okay, here's the beginning, here's the middle, and here's the ending. And if you live your life in a certain way, and then it gives you morals. It shows you people like Lot told them, don't turn around. Come on, bring your wife and your kids. Y'all don't turn around because you're leaving the land that you came from. And because of that longing that his wife had, she turned around and she went to a bill of assault. Whether that to be a real statement, if that really happened, or if that was symbolism, if something, if God told you to get out, that everything around you is wrong, 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 everything is evil, then why would you turn around and then wonder why you got burned again? And that's what happens. And so getting close to God is to, you can't run to God from him at the exact same time. Next to impossible. You can't say, I'm doing your will, God, and continue to do your will. You can't say, I'm ready for change, and then continue to do the same things that you've been doing. There's going to be aspects of your life you're going to want to let go of. As you get older, it gets plainer. The immaturity, if it's affecting your stability, then you probably want to let immaturity go. If you're responsibly, being living irresponsible is, oh Lord, have mercy. If being irresponsible is keeping you from maintaining, you know, your life, then you probably want to lose that. And I've got distracted because I'm driving down the highway. I see flashing lights. I had just seen a car that had spun out and hit the guardrail. And then lo and behold, I just seen two vehicles down a ravine with the lights on, and I pray that they are okay. Here we are trying to get to wherever we get. And that's another thing. As we travel, we take for granted that we're going to be safe and we're going to make it home. The different things can happen. Accidents do occur, and then we do just pray to God that he continues to put his angels of protection around us and then do the things that will keep us safe. I don't do this program hands-free, but I also don't do anything else. I'm not messing with any kind of buttons. I'm not playing the radio. I'm not doing any of those things. I'm maintaining the road, maintaining speed, and doing those things, which, there again, when at the end of our days, you get rid of the things, the stuff that distracts you from your life, then you'll be much safer, your life will be better, and the consequences of your actions will diminish. And right now, I just want to say, this is, we continue to work in looking for tools that will help us to continue to battle or fight the war against the enemy that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy us. Stealing everything that we have worked for, killing our spirit or killing our joy, and destroying, you know, everything. We want to work in the opposite. We want to destroy those strongholds. We want to kill any root that it may have inside of us, and we want to, we don't want to steal it. We just want our lives back. We want our family's lives back. We want dreams back. We want our joy back. We want the fruits of the Spirit. And right now, we just want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as unbelievers. We know how, just continuing to continue the desire to do your will. God, right now, we just pray that you continue to uplift us. We allow that you will allow this word from today to help someone. And Heavenly Father, for those who are in those accidents that we passed by, we just pray their safety. We just pray for their families. We just pray for the workers. We pray for the troopers. We pray for the fire department. We pray for all the health services, those in the hospital. And then, Heavenly Father, as we continue to go throughout this day, go with us, go before us, and allow us to know the moral of the story quickly, the circumstances and the situations that we encounter. And then, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for continuing to bless our families, bless us, and do everything. We continue to praise you and worship you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm Melissa Enoch D. Berry, Trinity Counseling Services, 1801 North Tryon, Suite 1. Suite 311B, Charlotte, NC, 2704-333-2446. We look to hear from you on Saturday. Have a blessed day.